I'm scared of the when you box you with my weapon, we won't all.
You think you wanna win, we're climbing, we stopping them. Dead in their tracks, motherfucker, I'ma show you what you lack. Rolling and folding them eyes, scolding them. Be like your dead hella scolding them. Bad children sitting in front of me. Gonna have to lay the smack down figuratively. Cause that's me, that's what I do. I be like holding it down on the same old mic in this town. Since I call myself Agent 2803. No one knows the hell of blows, fighting for my own sanity. You hoes, selfie yourself, vanity. Creatively, motherfucker, I'm a hungry ass mountain lion. You a bloated ass manatee.
Heed the words of the alpha nerd.
Yeah, you come here, son, could get it. Yeah, you heard it.
I can hear the breath of the weak.
I can hear the whispers of the meek. Motherfucker, when it comes to creativity,
I'm a beast. I'm a beast. From the west to the east.
Professional Weirdo Podcast. Sorry it's been so long since the last episode. Been really busy getting my project, my animation maker software game thing up on Steam. If you go to the Steam online store and search for Nightmare Puppeteer, you'll find the page. You can watch trailers, see what it does. You can even wish list it if you want to. But yeah, let me take a drink of water. Sorry for the delay between episodes, but something I've been thinking about a lot recently is I recently had a former collaborator from like 14, 15 years ago come back at me, insulting me for our past collaborations, insulting my work that I do now, everything I do, my person, and trying to guilt me for the way things went down in the past. I'm not going to get into specific or name names or whatever because that is unprofessional and I'm a professional weirdo. But I thought it was a good example. It was a good instance to talk about when weeding out people you should not work with. And some signs, you know, I've been through this a few times. I've worked with a lot of people. I've done a lot of projects. And there are signals and signs to watch out for. And so now, knowing what I know now, when I see those signs or signals, I go in the opposite direction. I don't want to work with the people. And so this individual and other people in the past, they had those signs, but I continued to work with them. And, you know, now they fucking lost their mind or their ambitions have collapsed. Their life isn't what they thought it would be. And their ego is so big or they have narcissism or whatever. That instead of blaming themselves, like, hey, I could have done more, I could have done this differently, they go out and blame other people, right? So like me. So anyway, so what are those signals and signs? So I would say whenever people need too much time and attention, if you need to beg them to do the work they're supposed to do that they agreed to, when you need to constantly nudge them, give them this attention, reassure them, tell them, you know, fluff their ego, you're great, blah, blah, blah. People that don't hit deadlines and they don't immediately give you a valid reason for missing the deadline. You know, like say someone was supposed to do something, they don't do it. You don't hear from them for a week or two. And then maybe you contact them, whatever, and they're just, blah, 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 making all these excuses as if, you know, and this is a situation where I'm talking about, say someone came to you, right? And they're like, oh, I want to work with you on this project. I'd love to do this thing. Okay, let's do it. And then they don't do it. And then when they come back at you and they're making excuses as if you kidnapped them and forced them to work on the project. When it was the other way around. When they came and said, hey, I want to work on this. Manipulative stuff like that. But people, like it usually happens and we only put up with it is because, quote, the people are talented or, quote, talented, right? We're like, oh, this person's art is so awesome. I'd love to get it in my thing or their music or the way they play, whatever, right? So, but in the long run, I've come to really think that talent is almost worthless because there's hundreds of millions, probably billions of talented people in the world. Just look for talented pianists or talented guitar players or talented drummers or talented artists, people who can sketch or draw. You'll find millions and millions and millions and millions of them. And to me, they're all just tools. They're just tools. Like, I don't treat them like tools in like in a way that I'm being a dick to them, but I'm just like, hey, they're tools. There's a whole bunch of tools out there. If the tool is acting like an asshole, just like a software tool, and it's broken, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, I don't use that tool. I don't use that software. Like now, when you know, as a professional weirdo, if I try new software, if it doesn't make sense the way it works, if it's buggy, it's whatever, I'll just be like, nah, I'm not going to put up with this. I want to use a tool that works, throw it away, right? And in software, I'll go with the tool that's not fancy, that doesn't have all the features and do all the shiny shit, because I know that stuff is just a distraction anyway. I just need the base to work. And it's the same with people. Like, get with people, try to work with them. You know, if they're too complicated, if they don't make any sense, if they cause all this trouble, like, what are you doing? You know, but it's like with people, we're like, oh, they're so talented, you're going to give my talent. It's like software. Oh, I want to use this feature. I want to use the 8K, blah, blah, whatever, this feature. And it's like, I think when we're like, for our project, oh, we need their talent, or same with software, oh, we need this feature, that comes from a place of low confidence. It comes from a disempowered place, because on our projects and the things that we're doing, it's us and our ideas, our vision, our originality, our passion that is the important thing. It's not the tool and the feature. It's not this person and their talent. So I say going forward, and this is how I do it now, if I have to make a choice between working with this talented person or me doing it myself, I'm not as talented, but unlike them, I'm going to put the time in. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to grind on it, right? I know from different things I've done in the world so far, there's things now that I do that people say, oh, you're so talented, you're gifted, and like all this shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I put 10 years on this thing. I put 5 years. It's not about talent. It's about time. So if you're willing to put the time in for yourself and developing your skills, you can go like, I was not talented, quote. Everything that I started, I sucked at first. My first fucking 30 short films or skits or whatever were awful. I mean, art, music, programming, games, whatever. That's just how it is, right? But you put the time in, and eventually people will say you're talented, but you really know it's just about time. So what I'm talking about here, talent is almost worthless. Like, I'd take myself just being consistent and not being a drama queen and not taking excess energy where I have to fucking wrestle with people to try to get the work out of them. It's like, fuck that. I'm going to go with myself. Yeah, the stuff I do is just going to be basic or whatever, but I'm going to get it done. I'm not going to be a drama queen. I'm not going to have to expend extra energy. It's not going to be a struggle, because that stuff wears on you. And, you know, waiting on people wears on you. I'm sure we've all been in those situations where it's like, you know, once you lock in these, quote, talented people in your projects, and say you're waiting on them, like, and everything else is done in your project, and then you're just sitting there, like, that wears on you. It sucks your soul out. It sucks your spirit out from your projects. And at the end of the day, like, it's all about you and your vision, your spirit, your originality, your creativity, your spirit, like how strong it is for your project, how motivated you are. So I say protect that core, like do what you need to do to protect that core, because, you know, it's you who has to sit down every day in front of your notebook, in front of your computer, in front of your piano, whatever it is. And if you don't have that motivation and that energy, or whatever it is, because you're waiting on people, like, it just fucking sucks. Like, you're done. So then what? Like, yeah, then you're just dependent. You just need people. So I say, forget the talented people. They're just a distraction. Like, if you can work with talented people who are cool and do take the work seriously and are consistent and they're not drama queens and don't require all this fucking handling and don't lag, awesome, do it. But most of them are not that way. And so, yeah, like the signs, like, let's just say in vague terms, the particular individual I was referring to at the beginning of this, at a large project, big project, collaborating with a fair number of people on minor parts of it, not the crux of it, not the main part. Of course, I was doing that work. Start the project. Okay, individual. Individual comes to me. I want to do this part of the project. Okay, cool. We're friends. Of course, this is where it gets weird, right? You try to work with friends. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit later. Try to work with friends. All right. You want to do this part? Okay. Big projects going along. It's already, I'd say, a third finished. Everything else. The person has not done their part. I've gotten nothing, right? And this, like, months have passed. And so I go to the person and I say, hey, what's going on? Are you going to do the thing you're supposed to do? Yeah, of course, I'm going to do it. Blah, blah, excuse. Again, as if I kidnapped them and twisted their arm and forced them to work on the project when it was them who came to me and wanted to do it. This is what these people do. And then it came down to me just saying, hey, well, if you're not going to do it, either I'm going to do it because I am more than capable of doing that task and I actually did that task on the next two big projects, or I'm going to get someone else. So, like, the show must go on. The show goes on. That's a thing, too. Do not stop the show for anyone. The show must go on, right? And this person, I don't know, they had a little freak out or blah, 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 blah. I don't remember what happened, but I remember sort of an argument, sort of this dramatic moment, right? And it came with they're not going to do it or they didn't say anything. They just left. Something. So then I go on the internet and post on these places like, hey, does anybody want to do this thing? This guy steps forward, who's actually really cool, who's actually famous in his country for doing something totally different. I didn't learn until I met him in person, but he does it. No nonsense, no complaints, whatever. He starts doing the work. He does about, I'd say, 30 to 40% of that work for this big project. And then he gets busy. He's not going to have the time to finish the rest of it. So then, and just about that time, that other person came back and was like, hey, I want to do it now. And I was like, well, I got this other guy. He already did like 30 or 40% of it. And then this person says, nah, that guy sucks. Just throw that out. I'm going to redo the whole thing. And this is like with maybe 1 month left, 1 or 2 months left until the deadline when the major project is due, right? Like, in a formal setting where there's no fucking around, it has to be finished. But this person says, throw that out. Like, get rid of his work. I'm going to redo the whole thing. And of course, I was like, no, I'm not going to throw their work out. They did good work. And like, just, that's just not something you do. So this person was all pouty and like, I'm complaining. And then went and did the remaining work for the film. Gave it to me. Went along with the ride, you know, was part of the team, whatever. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I was too fucking busy anyway. You know, when you're doing these big projects like I do, you don't have time or energy or fucking the will to bitch about or argue or whatever. It's like the show must go on. There's bigger things to do versus, you know, as opposed to this person's ego or their fucking sense of importance. It's like, I don't give a shit. Like, the show must go on. That's how it is, right? So they did it. I didn't say anything at the time, but the work was shoddy. It was half-assed work. It was just uninspired. It was just like it fulfilled the requirements, but me being able to do that same task, and I've done that task on big projects after that. If I would have done it myself, I would have done a far better, more detailed job faster. But anyway, I didn't say anything about it at all. Thank you. Put it in the project. So I didn't, like, I think things got mixed up, you know, because it's like, oh, we're friends, right? So, like, I guess we let friends be bigger jerks or we give them more leeway than we would probably a stranger, maybe. I don't know. But the signs I should have seen was the, back then to know, was like the lagging, the attitude, like, throw this other person's work out, it's crap, like, that's just the narcissist, the ego, it's just childish and fucking unreasonable too, you know? But like I said, I was so focused on the show must go on. Okay, sure, whatever, dude. Oh, you did it. Okay, cool. Because at the time of that project, it was the first time I did a project of that scope and scale. So, you know, there's a part of yourself to like, can I fucking pull this off? Can I do it? So, you know, there's stress, panic, like all this stuff involved. But, the reason I worked with that person is because, oh, I thought they were talented, right? But in the end, the talent was worthless. The talent did half-ass work. The talent was not worth it. And then 14 years later, the person comes back and is like blaming their mediocre existence in this realm that they're trying to partake in creatively on me or some shit. I don't fucking get it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of functional mentally ill people in the U.S. and it's like getting fucking worse. But I should have seen those signs and just said no thanks and went forward without them, because they... No, I shouldn't say that. I'll just say these are the signs. So I'd rather work alone. So what I did going forward, I learned how to do all the things I was asking that person to do. Actually, I already knew how to do them then. What am I saying? I already knew how to do it. It was something I knew how to do. I was just focused on doing the other parts, like the animation and the compositing and like everything else. So talent is almost worthless. And if talented people don't work hard and are not consistent, then us, the people who are not talented, will surpass them in time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen, you know, in a month or 2 months, but it will happen. And I've seen this happen over and over again in my career. I've worked with people who I thought were talented in a specific area. I eventually stopped working with them because of bullshit, because they didn't really want to do the thing. They were lazy. They, whatever, they're just in their own ego trip or narcissist. So I went forward. Then I started putting the time in that area, in that medium, whatever. It wasn't overnight. It took a long time. But then I eventually surpassed them where I don't need them at all anymore. And then like this person comes around, you know, offers collaboration, but I'm just like, I don't need you. I'm better than you and all the things you do. So like, yeah, get out of here. So, like I said, consistency, passion, dedication, a person who grinds is going to surpass the talented person, over and over and over again. So if you're on a project and you're like, you know, you can do the things you can do, but you're like, oh, I really want to get this talented person. And if you see the signs of them delaying your project, being a drama queen, fucking acting like an asshole, walk away. Trust me. It'll feel shitty at first when you're like, when you're doing that task and you're like, oh man, this is crap compared to the person. But just remember, that's not what the project's about. It's about this other thing. If your project is empty and meaningless and it's only about what's on the surface, how it looks, how it sounds, then you need the talented people, you're fucked. But if you're making things that have something deeper, they have a bigger core, they mean something, they represent something, they express something. If you know this, no other force, you know, a person can tell you that your project or you have that or don't have that. Only you know. But if you know, then you go with that. And yeah, again, talent, like the regular society or whatever, you see people just worship talent. Talent, oh, look, the best piano player ever that plays with their feet fucking backwards, and they started playing piano when they were minus 10 years old or whatever. And it's just like, I don't care. To me, the fucking talent, the people like that, they're just tools. They're just puppets for other people to play. So it's like, oh, whatever, puppet. Oh, another puppet. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But the way I look at it, the way I'm leveraging it now, it's like those pure talented people, like in my perspective, they're just tools. They're just puppets. It's just like how actors are just puppets. They're just tools to be used by writers, directors, producers, whatever. They're just puppets, tools. Eventually, all those tools and puppets will be replaced by code. And you're starting to see it happen already, but it will just keep going further. You know, you'll have a fucking algorithmic pianist that will be a million times better than any human piano player ever because it's a fucking machine. So you won't need the people. So that's the future I'm pushing into. It's like with my project Nightmare Puppeteer, it makes animation. It does these things, but it's like, you know, you learn how to code, learn how to program, and you start saying these things. And it's like, oh, I don't need those people. I can replace them with code. I created this algorithm that does this. I don't need them. So I see that the future of solo, indie, whatever I'm doing, you're probably doing creation. It's like, fuck the people. learn how to program. There you go. Not like all people. I'm talking about the quote talented people that fuck up our projects that we wait on that just give us fucking headaches because, you know, a lot of them, if they were born talented or, you know, oh, you're so talented. You're so talented. And then they let it just fucking inflate their ego. And they're just like, eh, I'm like a gift to your project. I am talented. I could make a bunch of other analogies with that, with like, you know, men chasing quote hot chicks that are crazy, you know, and they're like, I'm hot. Everyone loves me. And it's like, you wait till your hotness goes away. No one gives a shit. And that's when you get on pills and commit suicide eventually. But, yeah, so they have this inflated sense of importance because there are people that don't know, or I'm saying I think talent is next to worthless, but you know, they think it's the biggest thing, and you know, it's like, so that was my spiel on that. This is 20 minutes. Let me look at some of the questions. Maybe I can answer them. Let's go to Professional Weirdo Podcast. Whoa, there's a lot of questions here. Okay. Scarmu says, any experience with aliens, dimensional beings, or paranormal stuff? Yes, all of the above. If you want me to do a podcast just on my experiences with, quote, alien abductions and all that stuff, guess I've seen fucking ghosts and all that stuff too. Yeah, I can do that. Let me know. But I won't do it on this one because it would take too long. Mankey says, can you talk more about the period when you had a normie job transitioning to being an independent creator? At what point did you quit? How was it doing them both at the same time? So the work I was doing before I became a full-time professional weirdo, I was doing freelance work. So there wasn't really anything to quit. It was just, you know, you stop taking jobs, you know, most freelance stuff, you have to go out there and make yourself available. So, the last normie job I had that was like a full-time job where I went in every day and had to pay taxes and all that shit was, when I was in college and maybe 2 years after college, I worked at this furniture store delivering furniture and like moving heavy shit because I was a musclehead at the time. So that was a long time ago. That was probably like fucking, no, more than 15 years ago. That's probably like 17, 18 years ago. So while I was in college, that's what I was doing. And then the two years after college, when I graduated college, I had saved up money while I was in college to buy my first computer. I never had a new computer. I just had shitty like $30 Mac SEs, like really old things. But while I was in college, that's when I was like, oh, I want to make films and do this stuff. So I'm going to need a computer because that's when nonlinear editing, NLEs, editors for like normal people and mini DV was a thing. So I was like, I'm going to save up, get this computer so I can do all that stuff, make my movies. So when I graduated, I had saved up about $7,000. And then I spent all that on a computer, monitors, hard drives. Like I still remember it was like $2,000 for 120 gigs of hard drive space for like 2 60-gig drives anyway. So I was still working at the furniture store after college, but I was learning Final Cut Pro, After Effects. I was making all these little short films, making movies. And then so after about 2 years of doing that, still working at the furniture store, then I got jobs doing freelance video editing, motion graphics for this local company that did a video production. They mostly did wedding videos, but they also did music videos for local shitty rappers like Gangster Dudes, Skrilla Killer AB. So then I would do effects for those and stuff like that. So that I freelanced with those guys for a couple years, I think too, which was a really fucking cool job because they would just give me, they were on fucking discs, like a CD of photos or video, or whatever. They asked me to do effects on them. And then even when I wasn't living in the same city, they would mail me the work, and then I would do the work, mail it back, and then they would mail me checks, which was fucking cool. I did that for a while. And then I also did freelance. I guess I was the web designer, and I designed the menus and all the shit for this local bar and pool hall. I was probably doing that for another 2 years. But yeah, my last jobs were freelance, so I really didn't have to quit. You know, you just stopped doing it. So, let's see. Mankey also says, do you think you'll ever promote yourself again like you did for We Are the Strange? So, I think what you're talking about, most of that, if you're talking about getting press, like how I was in the New York Times and Wired and on the all that TV shit, that wasn't me. That was because the movie We Are the Strange got into the Sundance Film Festival, which is part of this machine, the system that generates money. You know, they're going to use my film, charge money for people to pay tickets to watch it, which they take that money. I don't get any of that money. So once you become a part of those organizations or those entities, now you're valuable to them because you're making them money. So all that promotion came through that. So I haven't done anything differently really ever since then. It's just like, if you're not owned or attached to some entity that's making money, no one's going to promote you. You're not going to get any promotion because, you know, the way the current shitty fucking system works, if no one can make money from you, they don't promote you. Cause it's like, why would they? Why? Because art, because I mean, that's just not reality. So, if as far as like making like funny, wacky shit, like trailers and weird stuff, like I did This Is Strainy May and all that, I am going to make a bunch of those things for Nightmare Puppeteer. I have planned out, but yeah, the promotion, that wasn't me. That was because someone was profiting from me. So it's like on YouTube, this is how it works. So like none of my stuff has ads on YouTube. So why would YouTube place my videos so people see them? I don't make them any money, so they don't. So you're just like, you know, you don't make money. That's just how this shitty system works. Spookter Guy says you should make a list of suggested reading, a professional weirdo bibliography. Yeah, I could do that. I have to make a website for this podcast eventually. I just found this new web design thing that's really cool called Card, CARRD.co, I think. But it's like $20 a year, and you can make a bunch of one-page, like, nice-looking websites. So I'll make a website for this when I get the chance. I'm going hard on Nightmare Puppeteer because it's shipping August 3rd, and I have to add in some final features, do the beta testing, clean shit up. So it'll probably be a while, but I'll do it then. So Spooky Ice also asks, I've done the books you made in the past. You got any of the books you like to make? Yeah, I probably have, like, I have a whole other book I wrote that I didn't put out or publish. What the fuck did I call it? Like Slow Train to Nowhere or something. It was kind of just me riding trains and writing like whatever. But I did some little chapters, posted on my blog or something. And some people tend to like it. So I was like, oh, I'll do a whole fucking book. I got to publish that. It's like me as an alien machine being in public and on trains and shit, observing humans as I don't... I kind of don't understand, like, you know, the phone addiction. I don't have a phone. So when I see people just all fucking enamored with their phones and smiling at their phones and all this weird shit. So I wrote a book traveling to different places, like as an alien, just observing people and the environments of the crumbling, collapsing America. As you know, when I was saying that some time ago, people were like, what are you talking about? America's not crumbling and collapsing. But I mean, it's more evident now, but you know, they just get caught up in a bullshit political stuff, but yes, this place is a shithole. Just fly from fucking Narita Airport in Japan to LAX or most any fucking US airport, and you seriously feel like you're going back in time like 40 years to a to a dirty past, because yeah, shit's fucked up here. If you've been to other nice places, like go to fucking Singapore, fucking whatever, come back here, you're like, what are you doing? First world country, eh? Totally. Let's see. But yeah, and I have a fiction book I've been outlining for a while. It's like my big giant fucking epic thing that I could probably only make in another medium as like some giant open world RPG, which I'm not gonna do because I'm not stupid. Like I couldn't do that. I mean, you need a team for that, definitely. So I'm gonna write that book. Scotch Tape, what time am I on here? 28 minutes. Oh shit, I can only do two more. It's not like I can stop and do another one. No. One last question. Comments that I'll try to answer real fast. You mentioned a grind on your projects. That is someone else's game. What is the difference between grinding on the game versus enjoying a game? I think it's about the time. So the thing about the time I was talking about, it's really about like let's say you're doing this project, your project, right? If you're spending, let's say, 4 hours a day playing someone else's games and 1 hour a day on your project, your balance is off. Like if you're spending 8 hours a day or whatever you can on your project and then an hour a day playing a game, who gives a fuck what you're doing in that game? Like it can be grindy, time wasty. You put the time in for your stuff, right? But what I was saying is if instead of doing your thing, playing your game, you're playing someone else's, it's really about the balance of time. It's less so about what you're doing in that game. It's just about, hey, you want to be a fucking musician? Are you putting the time in for music? No, you're playing fucking some game. Like, come on, get the balance right. So that's what I mean about playing someone else's game. Do whatever the fuck you want as long as you're putting the time into your project. I work 8 to 10 hours a day, and then sometimes I'll play Nuclear Throne on Steam for 10, 15 minutes. It's like I did my shit so I can play that for 10 minutes. But if I played it for 10 hours, get the fuck out of here. So again, sorry for taking so long in between podcasts. This one's over. Bye.
Yeah! Do it for the money, do it for the call of it all. Swing like a back in time and say fuck y'all. You cry and whine, just wanna be stars. All shining over and they say, Dad, can you drop a Pixar? Cause I got blue hair and I'm hella gay. Coming from nowhere, coming from nothing. And I'll beat the motherfucking stuffing out of anyone in this world. Got a transformer, a girl. When it comes to this creative shit, wanna take me on, better make some movies and I make some spit. Make some motherfucking games, I was staying fit for the dames. Like I said a long time ago, I don't stack paper. I spit rhymes, go line, stack animation frames. Wanna compete with me, you better be a fucking beast.
I'm a beast.